Good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. It is Friday, September 2nd. It is the kickoff, an exciting kickoff to college football weekend. And if you have a favorite team, my favorite team is the Texas Longhorns. And so we're hoping for good days for this year. We'll wait and see. We play Alabama the second game of the season, so that might not be too fun. But the big news, Twitter is ablaze today, and our news sources ablaze with Joe Biden's Soul of the Nation speech that he gave last night, primetime speech from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, a speech that many are saying is the most divisive speech that's ever been given in American history. He said that basically that those who voted for Trump, the MAGA supporters, the 74 million Americans who voted for Trump, we're a threat to democracy. It's not China, not Russia, not Antifa. It is the 74 million Americans that voted for Donald Trump in the last election. So we are going to talk about that today, and to help us in this discussion is my very dear friend and the guy I trust when it comes to understanding American history and world history, and that is Bill Federer. Bill, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Jeff, great to be with you.
Well, I appreciate you coming on, Bill, on such short notice. But as I was reading all the things this morning on Twitter that are being said about Biden's speech and hearing excerpts of it and getting the flavor of it, I said, I got to talk to somebody that knows how to put this in perspective for our listeners. So very broad question, Bill. What did you think of the speech?
Well, the name devil in Greek is diabolos, which means to divide. And so this strategy is used over and over again to, it's called Lincoln's Gettysburg address. He said, a house divided against itself cannot stand. Jesus says, a kingdom divided against itself cannot stand. So it's introducing an autoimmune disease into the body politic. What's an autoimmune disease? That's where your own immune system starts attacking your own organs. You have a war going on the inside. And this is the typical tactic to bring down a country. You know, when the British invaded India in 1714, they opened a trading post that turned into a trading fort, and then they stirred up ancient animosities between the kingdoms until they fought each other. And then the British came in to restore order and took control of both kingdoms, and they did this again and again and again until they took over all of India. And they tried doing this in the American Revolution. The Indians and the settlers had reached an equilibrium, and the British came into the Indians and promised them money for scalps and stirred them up to create this butchering and so forth that's even mentioned in the Declaration of Independence, that the King of England has incited domestic insurrection among us. And so this strategy is very effective. Franklin Roosevelt in 1940 said, whoever seeks to set one nationality against another seeks to degrade all nationalities. Whoever seeks to set one race against another seeks to enslave all races. He goes on in January 2nd, 1942, Franklin Roosevelt said, remember the Nazi technique, pit race against race, religion against religion, prejudice against prejudice, divide and conquer. Even Charles Barkley, the NBA player on a CBS Sports panel last year, said, man, I think most white people and black people are great people. I really believe this in my heart. But I think our system is set up where our politicians, whether they're Republicans or Democrats, are designed to make us not like each other so they can keep their grasp of money and power. They divide and conquer. Charles Barkley goes on, we're so stupid following our politicians. Their only job is, hey, let's make the whites and blacks not like each other. Let's make the rich and poor people not like each other. Let's scramble the middle class. I truly believe this in my heart. And so this is the strategy. You know, Plato, I wrote a book. It's called Socialism, the Real History from Plato to the Present. Plato talked about how tyrants take over. He says that you have a democracy, but then when you have somebody that wants to seize power, they claim that there's emergencies that they began to take power from the people. But then when people see through it, they begin to challenge them. and the leader begins to drop in popularity. And when these tyrants drop in popularity, their fraud, their lies are no longer believed. The only tool left they have is force. And so what they do, Plato says that they promise the poor that they'll cancel their debt in order to win the poor's support. And then they accuse their opponents of the crimes that they're guilty of, this psychological projection, and they take away their money. And then they finally stand up in the chariot of state holding the reins of power, and they're revealed as the tyrant. And so this tactic is used over and over again. But it's long and short, tyrants have two tools in their toolbox, fraud and force. Fraud is they'll lie to you, say there's emergencies, they'll take away your freedoms, and they're telling you that it's for your own good, the fraud. But when people see through the fraud, the only tool left they have is force. And so they purge their military of anybody with virtue. All they want is yes men, and then they begin to go out and literally use military force to oppress their enemies. So that's the next thing. So whenever you have a Biden speech like this, the next thing is he's going to purge West Point. He's going to purge the military of anybody with morals and virtue. He's going to turn it into a communist Chinese invading Hong Kong type of thing, where they're literally going to, their goal is to accuse their opponents and then use military force against them.
What's the remedy for this, Bill? I mean, if you look down the road, you say, okay, well, he seems to have a clear path to do all this stuff. How do things get turned around?
Put pressure on the rhinos. FARC, these drug gangs in Colombia and Latin America, they're enemies where they'll do killing, but then they'll take their drug money and they'll buy politicians. And so China has learned how to do this. China will go into countries and basically buy politicians to get monopoly deals and so forth. And so you have rhinos that are so dependent on money that they'll basically surrender the country if they think it'll help their reelection. They need to have pressure put on them, and they need to have pressure put on them to say, look, this was a staged raid on Mar-a-Lago. You need to say the federal government just can't raid people. We need to put pressure on them. It's the Jesse Smollett syndrome, where they staged the attack against themselves, but they want to blame it on some innocent people. Wife beaters do this. They'll say, well, you started it because you provoked me. Mm-hmm. An unfaithful spouse will accuse the faithful spouse of being unfaithful. Little kids do it. They say, I didn't start the fight, you did. And so this blame shifting, this accuse your opponent of what you're guilty of, has found its way into politics. And so, Hillary Clinton colludes with Russia, giving away a fifth of their U.S. uranium in exchange for contributions to her Clinton Foundation. She pays for a Steele dossier to accuse Trump of colluding with Russia. Biden extorts Ukraine, saying, stop investigating my son or I'll hold back billions of dollars. They wouldn't accuse Trump of extorting Ukraine. They accuse exactly what they're guilty of. And so they want to call you hateful and divisive when they're actually hateful and divisive. Right? They want to call you intolerant when actually they're intolerant. There's lots of instances in history where this has been used effectively.
Okay, so Bill, we go from the lies then into the force. So is that's the next phase that we should expect to see?
Yeah, as far as every single takeover in world history, this is how it happened. That the Nazis wanted to invade Poland, but world public opinion wouldn't support it. And so they had the Gliwice incident, where they had Nazi soldiers dress up as Polish soldiers and attack a German outpost. And they snapped the pictures, and the media took it and ran with it and said the Polish had attacked the Germans, therefore the Germans felt justified in invading Poland and conquering it, right? They staged the whole thing. Japan wanted to invade China, and they claimed that there was a railroad explosion that destroyed some Japanese stuff, and they used that as an excuse to invade, and they killed hundreds of thousands in Nanking, China. Later, they did an international investigation, and they walked the entire railroad route, and there was no explosion, right? They created it, blamed it on the Chinese, and then used that as an excuse to invade. Turkey, Istanbul, there was a Greek community there, and the fundamentalist Muslims seized power and wanted to drive them out. And so they had a plot to have a university student blow up the Turkish embassy and the home of Ataturk, who was like their founding father for the Republic of Turkey, and blame it on the Greek Christians. The bomb never went off, but the newspapers ran with it anyway, and it stirred Istanbul into this jihad crazy frenzy that they attacked all the Greek neighborhoods, destroyed all their ancient churches, pulled their Greek Orthodox priests out of their bed, ripped off their beards, and they chased out that Greek Orthodox community. And Erdogan did a similar thing just recently, right? He claimed there was a coup against him, and then pulls out a list of all of his political opponents and has them arrested and zip-tied and taken away. Hitler did a similar thing with the burning of the Reichstag, that all historians say it was Hitler's people that most likely set the fire, but Hitler blamed the insurrection on the Capitol on his political opponents and used it as an excuse to set up hearings and commissions to do investigations, and he rounds up all his political enemies and has them shot without a trial. And then there was no political enemies left for Hitler, and he transitioned it from a republic, the Weimar Republic, into a dictatorship. So this is the standard operating procedure, is when tyrants, they first use fraud and emergencies, and they tell you that they're taking away your rights and freedoms for your own good. But when people begin to see through it, the fraud tool doesn't work. The only tool left is force. And that's when they stage these things, they blame it on their opponents, and then they weaponize not just the IRS, and not just the, you know, intelligence gathering agencies, they transition to using the actual military, the FBI, the political enforcement arms, to go after their political opponents. So this is sort of like one of the final stages of a takeover, and I think we just have a small window to call them out on it. Exposure of their tactics is the first step to stopping them. It's like, you know, the Wizard of Oz. This great wizard is really scary, but then you have a Toto dog pull back the curtain and see it's an old man, right? Once you have to pull back the curtain, otherwise you're left with looking at this great Oz like, oh, I'm so scared. No, this is a staged event. They're the ones that are guilty, and they're wanting to blame all their political opponents.
Bill, do you see this ending in a civil war in America, or how do you see this shaking out?
I think, you know, from a spiritual perspective, the good Lord is letting it happen to push people to a decision-making moment to show whose side they're on. I mean, the evil is going to get so out of the closet evil. I mean, here in California, I was there just a couple weeks ago, they literally have a bill, 2223, to kill a baby that's 30 days old. Out of the womb, 30 days old, this is on the California bill. I mean, the evil is going to get so evil that anybody with any moral sense is going to say, okay, this is enough. I've got to stand up. But other people are going to say, well, you know what? I'm going to go with this. I'm going to go with it. There is no male, female anymore. These little kids can be fluid. And it's like every single cell in the body is either XX or XY. And cutting off a piece of an anatomy doesn't change every single cell in the body, right? Yeah. There's males, there's females. And so that's a whole another talk, but there's a Oxford anthropologist, J.D. Unwin, wrote a book in 1934 called Sex and Culture. He studied 80 major civilizations over 5,000 years, and he saw trends. And one of the trends was sexual promiscuity always precedes the collapse of a civilization. He said civilizations go through four stages. The first is the beginning stage. They go through a war, a famine, and they work together, and they work hard, and they come out of it alive, and then they begin to get patriotic, and then they get prosperous, and then the last stage is they want to enjoy their prosperity, and they get promiscuous and sexually immoral. So we're sort of toward the end of the life cycle of a civilization, but we need to work hard and put it off, and I think if we repent, God will give us more time.
Amen. We're talking to Bill Federer. You're listening to Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve, and we will be back after this quick break.
Did you know that over 62 million babies have been aborted since Roe v. Wade? Every single one of these babies' lives was dear and precious. Why isn't the world declaring these babies as lost? Here's Dan Steiner, the president of Preborn, a ministry dedicated to saving babies' lives from abortion through ultrasound.
I sense God's broken heart over the issue of abortion. You see, he sees every little baby that's being formed in the mother's womb, and it breaks his heart to see when the lifetime that he has planned for them is taken from them violently so often.
The Ministry of Preborn is the largest provider of free ultrasounds in the country, introducing women considering abortion to their precious preborn baby. By letting a mother see her baby on ultrasound and hear the heartbeat, she'll choose life 80% of the time. To find out more, go to preborn.com or dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 and say baby.
Have you ever tried to bring a prodigal child or a friend back to faith? In your own strength, it may seem impossible, but don't be discouraged. God's in the business of leading prodigals home. I'm Charles Morris. Join me this week for Haven Today, joined by Barbara Giuliani on an encouraging series called Hope for Your Prodigal.
Haven Today, weekday mornings at 4:30 Central on American Family Radio. Listen online at afr.net.
Bishop E.W. Jackson.
What needs to be told to these black men is get a job, stop fathering children that you can't take care of, stop hanging out in the streets, and stop acting like the cops are your enemy anytime you interact with them, particularly when you're interacting with them in a situation where you know they've come expecting potential trouble because of the circumstances you've allowed yourself to be in. How about trying that?
Weekdays at noon Central on American Family Radio.
Hello?
Hey, stranger.
Oh, hi. Thank goodness it's you. I was afraid to answer the phone.
Why? What's up?
The credit card companies are after me. They want me to make payments and the calls never stop.
Ouch. Been there before, but I got help from Trinity Debt Management.
Trinity?
Yeah, I called and right away Trinity contacted my creditors and got my interest rates cut in half. They ended all the late fees and over-limit charges, and they stopped those annoying phone calls.
Bet that was a relief.
Yep. Then they put me on a plan that consolidated my bills into one easy monthly payment. That way, I paid off my debt fast while saving thousands.
Nice.
Trinity even showed me how to plan and meet a monthly budget. So now I'm debt-free for keeps.
Wow. Do you still have their number?
Sure. Here, write this down and call 1-800-788-1813.
Can you repeat that?
1-800-788-1813. That's 1-800-788-1813.
Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. We're talking to Bill Federer, American and world history expert and national speaker and prolific author. And we're talking about Joe Biden's speech from last night, The Soul of the Nation, from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, in which he basically said 74 million Americans that voted for Donald Trump are extremists and they're a threat to democracy. Bill, I found this tweet this morning where a man named Greg Price, I'm not familiar with him, but he said the extreme MAGA agenda is as follows: secure borders, fair elections, energy independence, be tough on crime, save babies, stop genital mutilation of kids, put parents first, school choice, protect constitutional rights, put America first. What part sounds extreme to you? Desire for so many Americans to protect America and to protect our children and to have common sense morality, that's not extreme at all, is it?
No, it's not. And again, we have to remind ourselves that they're the ones that are guilty. They're blaming us. Joseph was in Potiphar's house, and Potiphar's wife was the one that was wanting to do the lustful sin, but she accused Joseph of wanting to rape her, right? And then you have Ahab running into Elijah, and Ahab says, "Elijah, you're the one troubling Israel." And Elijah says, "No, you're the one that's troubling Israel." You know, Nero set fire to Rome, but he blamed it on the innocent Christians. The Apostle Paul was in Jerusalem. He shaved his head. He was in the temple. And the Jews, the religious Jews, stir up a riot. And then Paul is now on trial. And Tertullus says, "We found this Paul a pestilent fellow, a mover of sedition among the Jews, a ringleader of the sect of the Nazarenes, and he's gone about stirring up these riots." And the Apostle Paul says, "None of the stuff they said is true. Ask anybody. It's only been there 2 weeks, and all I was quiet in the temple. I wasn't disputing with anybody." The Pharisees, Jesus says, "You're of your father the devil." And yet they have the audacity to accuse Jesus of being demon-possessed. They always accuse you of what they're guilty of. I mean, even Adam. I mean, he ate from the fruit of the tree, and what does he do? He projects the blame on God himself. "The woman you gave me the fruit and I ate from it." In other words, it's your fault, God. And this concept of blaming the innocent person for the guilt of the guilty is in politics. It's every day. And they're the ones that are doing all the evil stuff and the divisive stuff, and they're projecting it on you. It's a tactic. You know, I was amazed even Senator Rand Paul, when he was interviewing Homeland Security Secretary Mayorkas on his proposed disinformation governance board. And Rand Paul says, "Do you know who the greatest propagator of disinformation in world history is? The U.S. government."
Yes.
And so it's a time for us to wake up, ladies and gentlemen, that you have people. Marco Rubio, senator from Florida, this was just last month. He said, "What's happening is shocking, but in Latin America and many other countries around the world, here's what happens. A group seizes power. One of the first things they do is they begin to persecute and go after their political opponent. When the supporters of their political opponents begin to complain, they begin to target and criminalize the opposition. The next thing you're going to see, because it's in the playbook, is going to be that the people who are supporters of Donald Trump or just conservatives are going to begin to get labeled as potential insurrectionists and harassed by law enforcement. This is the playbook. It's used worldwide. It's always been done on other soils with the KGB and the CIA, but they seize power. They immediately blame their political opponents." I talked to a guy from Tanzania, and he said that there was a Catholic president, served two terms, and he was really nice and helped a Muslim get elected, thinking that, oh, I'll help bring unity to the country. No sooner did the fundamentalist Muslim get elected than he began to blame all the Christians for all the problems, and then they saw the firebombing of churches and the firebombing of schools, and they were blaming the Christians for the problem, and they were seizing the power. This is the way it works. They seize power, and they want to call you the enemy, and then they want to weaponize all the law enforcement, FBI, and so forth to go after you. And it's a wake-up call, and I think we have a window that's quickly closing. People say, "What do you think God's going to do?" I think God's watching us to decide what he's going to do. If we repent, remember Zedekiah, the prophet Jeremiah comes to him and says, "Look, if you repent, Jerusalem will be spared, but if you don't repent, a king of Babylon is going to come here and burn the city to the ground." The choice was given to King Zedekiah, and I think the choice is given to us. If we repent for the 60 million babies that have been aborted, and now in California and New York, where they're wanting to let babies who have been born alive be killed after their birth, if we can sit back and let that happen, what is a just God supposed to do?
Right.
It's like God said to Cain, "Your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground." What was it crying? An innocent person was killed. You're a just God. If you stand by and do nothing, silence equals consent. You're giving consent to the killing of the innocent, and that means you're no longer a just God. So
right.
God's very nature is on trial right here. If we sin, and God makes it really clear that you're taking innocent life, and if he doesn't judge us, he's giving consent to that, and who would want to spend eternity with a God that gives consent to killing innocent babies that haven't done anything wrong? No, God is a just God. His very nature is to be just. And what is the response? We need to repent individually and then as a country. And I don't think you can tuck your head down and hide this one out. I think he's going to let it permeate, and it's going to soak, and every single person in the country is going to be presented with a choice. Are you going to stay silent? And Numbers chapter 30, have I ever shared that little part with the audience?
I can't remember. Go ahead.
And interrupt me at any time. But so this is a chapter in the book. Who reads the chapter Numbers, chapter 30? Well, there's a half dozen scenarios where silence equals consent. One of them is if a daughter is still living in her father's house and binds herself with a vow in the day the father hears it, if he is silent, he's giving consent to the vow, and the girl has to follow those vows. But if in the day the father hears of it, he disallows it, she's released from the vow, and the Lord forgives her. That has come down to us as vows in a wedding ceremony. And the pastor says, if you're silent, you're giving consent. And anybody right. that's against this wedding, speak now or forever hold your peace. So if the church member's silence gives consent to a wedding, the church member's silence to abortion being done and babies being killed, they're giving consent to that. And if you give consent to murder, you're guilty of murder, and you'll be judged for committing the murder.
Mm.
The Proverbs 24 says, if you see an innocent person, like a child, being carried off to their death, and you act like you didn't see it, the Lord knows you saw it, and he will hold you accountable by your silence. And then their tactic is to guilt trip Christians into being more Christian than Christ. They say, if you're Christian, you'll tolerate this LGBTQ sexual fluidity and crazy pronouns being taught to these kids. Question, would Jesus teach that? We have on record where Jesus said in the beginning God made them male and female. So you're telling me if I'm really Christian, I'll let them teach something that Jesus would never teach. So if I'm really Christian, I won't act like Christ.
Yeah.
And yet Jesus says, if you're silent, and by your silence, you're giving consent. You drive by that school, you know they're teaching this, and you're silent, you're giving consent to that. Jesus says, if you allow one of these little ones that believes in me to stumble, it is better that a millstone be put around your neck and you be thrown in the depths of the sea.
That's
so
exactly
all these
right.
people that, all these people that think they're being spiritual by not getting involved, by their silence, they're actually inviting the judgment of God upon their heads.
Well, we have a lot of cowards in the church today, which is a sad commentary, but it is true. And that is the Revelation 21:8, the first one the Lord lists of those in hell. But for the cowardly and unbelieving, the cowards are named first. Bill, you had mentioned Zedekiah. I had my Bible open to 2 Chronicles chapter 36, where the Lord says, And the Lord, the God of their father, sent word to them again and again by his messengers because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. But they continually mocked the messengers of God, despised his words, and scoffed at his prophets until the wrath of the Lord arose against his people until there was no remedy. I think that's exactly right what you're saying. God is giving us an opportunity like he gave Nineveh to repent. And if we repent, then the Lord will heal our land. It starts with the church of God, with the people of God. If we don't, then all that's left is going to be judgment, because shall not the judge of all the earth deal justly? And he will. And I said this just the other day in a sermon. God would much rather save than judge. He doesn't like to judge. He didn't send the Son into the world to condemn the world. He sent the Son into the world to save the world. But if we don't respond to his grace, all that's left is judgment. Bill, give us some encouragement, because it's easy to get very pessimistic. You know, we see the train is going down the track for America to become socialistic. We lose all our freedoms, and we can see a day where we become like Nazi Germany, and the Christians are rounded up and put in camps or killed. What is the encouragement for us today?
Well, Josiah. So here is the wicked, wicked king Manasseh, and he is sacrificing children to Moloch, and he's filling the streets of Jerusalem with the blood of the innocent. And the prophets come to him and says, "It is over. God's had enough. It is over. You're killing innocent children. It's over." And so judgment is pronounced, but Manasseh has a grandson named Josiah. He's 8 years old when he becomes king, 16 years old, a teenager. He starts to seek the Lord. That's why I love the Turning Point and Charlie Kirk and all those young people getting involved. And then he's around 24, and it says that The king Josiah tells the priest to clean out the temple that his granddad Manasseh had trashed. And they're cleaning out the temple, and they find the law of God. And the Josephus, the Jewish historian, said it was the last copy of the law on earth because Manasseh was destroying every copy of the Torah and law that he could find. Anyway, the priests take it out. They said it was the original one that Moses had that was wrapped in burlap and buried a bunch of stuff in his storage room. And they read it to this young King Josiah. And when he hears it, he rips his garments and he repents. He says, "Dear God, we are a nation that had a covenant with God. We've forgotten God. We deserve judgment." And he sends to a prophetess in town, a woman named Huldah. She's the wife of the king's tailor. And the messengers say, the king wants to know what is going to happen. And she says, "Tell the man that sent you that judgment will come because of the sins of the nation, but not during his lifetime, because he repented when he heard the words of the Lord." And so for the rest of the 31-year reign of Josiah, there's a reprieve. There's blessings. He has this big Passover, probably one of the biggest ones ever, and he draws all the people there, and then he sends the Levite priests out to teach the law, and they have revival. And if you do the numbers, it was during that revival that Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego got saved as young children. And so for the rest of this reign of Josiah, there's peace and prosperity. Now, when he dies, it goes down the drain pretty quick with Zedekiah. So I'm praying for a Josiah generation. We deserve judgment, right? And now there's prophets saying, look, we need to repent. And all repentance is individual, right? There's no group. Right. All liberty is individual. All repentance is individual. It's every person's heart. It's my heart. Right, every person needs to get back to reading the Bible every day and again praying and seeking the Lord and doing something. You know, we're spiritual beings, but we're in a physical world, and God gives us opportunities to manifest spiritually what's in our heart in the physical world. God knew what was in Abraham's heart, but he wanted to see Abraham be willing to take his son Isaac to the top of Mount Moriah and be willing to sacrifice him. You know, a guy's watching football and say, "Hey, when was the last time you told your wife you love her?" And he's like, "I can't remember, but she knows my heart." It's like, okay. When was the last time you did anything to show your wife you love her? I can't remember, but she knows my heart. It's like, dude, we need to have a little talk here. People say, "Well, God knows my heart." Yes, he does know your heart, and he wants to hear some words out of your mouth, and he wants to see some actions, right? He blesses Abraham. Why? So he can be a blessing. The children of Israel went into the promised land. Every family was given land. If you own land, you can accumulate stuff. The Bible called that being blessed. And you can give away some of your stuff. The Bible called it charity, right? Socialism is a transition phase to communism, is what Lenin said. And Karl Marx says communism can be summed up in one sentence: abolition of private property. If you don't own property, how can you be charitable? What, are you going to steal from somebody and break the law? You're a thief. No, God entrusts you with stuff. He wants to bless you, but then he gives you opportunities to give away some of your blessings, right? In charity, and the word charity is used all throughout the Bible. And so we're in the physical world, and I believe, we're the bride of Christ. Every romance novel, every Hallmark movie builds up to this one decision-making moment where there is a forsaking of all others and choosing the one. Yes. I think God is pushing the world toward a decision-making moment.
That is so
good,
Bill.
Are you going to care what people post about you? Are you going to care if you're canceled? Are you going to care what everybody says about me? Or are you going to forsake all others and say, "I only care about Jesus"?
Amen.
I only care about looking forward to that last day and the Lord saying, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." All you care about is the approval of the one.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Well, we've been talking to Bill Federer. Bill, thank you so much for coming on today. I know it was short notice, but you always have a wealth of information and knowledge, and I appreciate your heart for the Lord. What a great invitation that you just gave. God is calling. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And so,
AmericanMinute.com, if anybody's interested, is my website.
AmericanMinute.com. Amen.
Yes.
Okay, Bill, thank you so much for being with us. Hey, when we come back from the break, we're going to be taking your calls, 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. Let's talk about what's going on in America and how we can make a difference as we get our hearts right with God.
AFR programming is now available on Alexa.
You're joking, right?
Nope, not joking.
Seriously?
Yep, this is not a drill.
Wait a minute, no way.
There's a way. The Alexa way. So if you just happen to miss your favorite shows, no worries. You can now listen to each podcast with Alexa. It's simple and it's free. Just visit afr.net/apps and click Alexa. We're not joking.
I don't know what I would do without you guys. I can't think of one program that doesn't catch my ear.
Would you take a moment to tell us how American Family Radio has impacted your life? You might hear your story on the air during our upcoming Share-a-thon, October 11th, 12th, and 13th. Call 877-876-8893. That's 877-876-8893.
If you are 65 or older, you know this. It's really frustrating to deal with out-of-pocket medical expenses, just watching your hard-earned dollars flying out the window. Well, here's something that can really help, and it's worth taking a minute to look into. MediShare is a new option. It's called MediShare 65 Plus. And MediShare is a community of Christians who share each other's healthcare bills. It really is a community, too. People encourage and pray for each other. MediShare 65 Plus is a low-cost option for those with Medicare Parts A and B, and it fills in the gaps where Medicare stops. It's a great way to fight inflation, too. You can lock in one low monthly price for up to 10 years, and you can use your Medicare-approved doctor, and you also get telehealth 24/7 service, so you don't have to leave your home for the little stuff. Very worth looking into. And it's so easy to find out why people rave about the customer service at MediShare. They're easy to talk to. Call 833-45-BIBLE. That's 833-45-BIBLE. 833-45-BIBLE.
Here at the AFA Foundation, we help families just like yours shore up permanent income for their retirement years through our charitable gift annuities.
AFA Foundation's Associate Director, Chelsea Wildman.
We would love to work with you to see if a charitable gift annuity is right for your situation. With a charitable gift annuity, you'll be giving to the culture-transforming work of the American Family Association, and you'll be ensuring that you receive a lifetime income and excellent tax benefits. You can fund a CGA through cash, credit card, or stock. Why not reach out to the AFA Foundation team today?
A charitable gift annuity benefits you and helps ensure the AFA will impact America for generations to come. Call 800-326-4543, extension 345. That's 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Give us a call and let's talk about a charitable gift annuity.
Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. We have just been talking to Bill Federer, who is unlike any other in his knowledge of history, American history, world history. His mind is just filled with great information, and I love the way he connects the dots. And so we appreciate him so much. He has been on our program on many occasions. Well, we've been talking about the speech from last night. Joe Biden solo the nation speech. Charlie Kirk, who has a great ministry, a great work with Turning Point, he tweeted this last night, mentions in Biden's speech, China, zero times, crime, zero times, inflation, zero, fentanyl, zero, the border, zero, Charlottesville, one time. January 6th, twice, insurrection, three times, Donald Trump, three times, extremism, seven times, violence, 10 times, MAGA, 13 times, Republicans, 16 times. And then he ends his tweet with one word, priorities. And so we're being deemed the bad guys, just as Bill Federer said. That's straight out of the playbook, from the socialist, communist playbook. You do all these terrible things and accuse your opponents of doing all those terrible things. And, you know, the devil doesn't have a lot of tools in his bag. He comes at it the same way every single time, and it is effective. And, you know, Jesus said of the devil, he is a liar and the father of lies. He's a master liar, and he is a deceiver. And he could deceive, if possible, even the elect. And we are no match for him as far as going head-to-head with him. We have to appeal to the Lord, and we have to walk in the truth, and we have to immerse ourselves in the truth so that we can recognize when a lie comes, wait a minute, that doesn't match up with the truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. The truth shall make you free, the Lord Jesus said. Well, in this last segment, we're taking your calls, 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840. And we have Alan from North Carolina on the line. Alan, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hey, Reverend Jeff Shreve. Thank you so much for taking my call. And also, thank you so much for having Bill Federer on the on your program. I know Bill. I'd met him at a Values Voter Coalition conference. And you know, what he says, you can take that to the bank, because yes, he has got such a wealth of knowledge and insight. And again, I just can only compliment you on your having him on the program.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you so much. Yeah, Bill's a good friend, and we had him at church before the election a couple of years ago, and he did a great job just spelling out what socialism is all about. How does a country go down that road, and just taking illustrations from history and from the Bible. He is one of the most knowledgeable guys I've ever had the pleasure of meeting, and so he does a great job just, as I said, connecting the dots. So, Alan, I appreciate that. I appreciate your encouragement. And thank you so much for listening to Real Truth for Today. Well, the number to call is 888-589-8840. And tell me what you thought of the Joe Biden speech. And listen, it's easy, if you're not careful, to get discouraged and to think that the sky is falling. But as Bill said, hey, everything is under the Lord's control. He is the sovereign God of the universe. A sparrow doesn't fall to the ground unless God says that's okay. He knows everything that's going on. And as Bill masterfully said, the Lord is pushing this world to make a decision. And there is no, the middle ground is evaporating before our eyes. You have to say, whereas Moses said, who is on the Lord's side? You're going to have to stand up and be counted to be on the Lord's side, or you're against the Lord. There is no middle ground. Either we receive Christ. Jesus said, he who is not for me is against me. And he who doesn't gather with me scatters abroad. And so we have to make the decision in our hearts and with our lips and bow our knee in this life and say, Jesus, you are Lord, and I surrender, as Thomas said, my Lord and my God, and we follow after him. You know, to be a disciple of Christ, that means you're following the Lord. And if you're not following the Lord, you can't really call yourself a follower. Now, we follow him, we do what he says, we walk in the same manner that he walked, and the sweet aroma of the knowledge of him goes forth in every place we go. And if we're not following, then we have to ask ourselves, what is the deal here? Because of a disciple of Christ, a Christian, is someone who follows the Lord. Well, we have Penny from North Carolina on the line. Penny, welcome to Real Truth for Today. Penny?
Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
Oh, I just would like to say that I find that Joe Biden's speech was very encouraging. I feel like Jesus is our Savior, and that Donald Trump and the MAGA Republicans are anything but the truth or the way. I feel like he's almost been like the Antichrist coming onto the scene, and so many people have followed this man, and he's so incompetent. And it's just, he cares nothing for the downtrodden and the poor folks. And I know I'm from a small rural area in North Carolina, and this man has nothing to give, and he's just duped everyone. He's three times divorced, been in so many scandals, made fun of our FBI, our own government agencies. How can anyone believe this? It's so discouraging, and we are truly in the battle for the soul of our nation.
Hmm. So you believe that Joe Biden is telling the truth, and he's fighting to protect America, even though he's against secure borders. The elections, you know, just says, hey, it was a fair election. Don't research this anymore. He shuts down our drilling for oil so that we become energy dependent, not energy independent. Crime is rampant. He wants to kill babies even outside the womb. He wants to promote the genital mutilation of kids. And you think all that is good?
Happens in the Middle East, sir. And that is done by a very weird sect of Saudi folks, Middle Eastern folks. But Jesus.
No, the genital mutilation is what they're doing in hospitals to kids that say, hey, I'm really supposed to be a girl, so make me like a girl. I'm really supposed to be a boy, make me like a boy. That's what genital mutilation is. That's what
Jesus
they're for.
Jesus loves everyone. Jesus loves everyone, whether they think that they're a boy or girl. He created every one of us, and you know that. So you have no idea what you're talking about. I'm a nurse. I work in a hospital. I've seen people struggling with this mental problem of trying to figure out what's wrong with them. And you know what? Joe Biden doesn't, it's not up to us to judge. It's not up to, for us to judge. It's up for the Lord to judge this. So, you know, the Trump.
So anything goes because we don't judge anything. That's what you're saying?
The government? No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying we do have laws. But we do not, it's not up to men to judge. It's up to the Lord to judge. You know that.
If you don't judge anything, how do you live your life? Jesus said, don't judge according to appearance sake. Judge with righteous judgment. You don't do that?
Government. We have a community, and we have government, and we have legislative branch, judicial branch, executive branch, the president. Trump, do you really believe what he did? I mean, he made fun of people. He got up in one of his rallies and made fun of a disabled man. Are you for that? And this guy,
of course not. Are you for secure borders? Are you for securing the borders?
Absolutely, yes. And the Biden administration is too. But they are
obviously not. I mean, look, go. Come to Texas and go down to the border. See that the Biden administration is not for secure borders. Are you for fair elections?
Country, we are fair elections. Yes, absolutely. And even Bill Barr and all your MAGA Republican people that actually worked for Trump, which fell away from him, by the way, they all agreed that the elections were fair. So the evidence is there. I'm all for evidence-based medicine. I'm all for evidence-based rule of law. And Jesus, in his times, had laws and government and everything, and that's what we are. But it's up to, it's not everything goes, sir. You're just taking it to the extreme. You
said we can't judge.
Trump is the Antichrist. Do you guys?
Trump is the Antichrist. Okay, and then his followers are following the Antichrist. People that voted for him, the 74 million Americans that voted for him?
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. And
okay.
I can tell you.
And then the Joe Biden supporters are they're the godly ones that are going to be blessed because they're following the Lord and the scripture because they're following Joe Biden and whatever he says. Well, I appreciate you calling in, Penny. I appreciate that other point of view. I don't share it. I don't think very many people that are listening share it, but I appreciate you sharing it and or agree with it, but I appreciate you sharing it. I appreciate you listening to the program. So God bless you. We have Clifton on the line from Virginia. Clifton, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Yes, thank you, sir, for taking my call. You know, the Bible says in the end time, God will send a strong delusion that people might believe a lie and be damned. You know, I'm glad we're living in a country where we have freedom of speech, but your last caller is already living in delusion. And if she dies thinking it's all right to kill babies and change kids' sexes, she's going to see the errors of her way when it's too late, and I'm certainly not happy about that. But I'm afraid we're living in a time. You know, the prophet Jeremiah was told by God, don't pray for these people anymore. I will not hear your prayers. And I've been reading in the book of Isaiah, and God's telling the church of the day, the people coming to the temple, you know, I wish you wouldn't even come. I wish you wouldn't make me sacrifices, because you're saying one thing and living another. You know, we have a duty, just like you've been saying in your guest there, we have a duty to speak out. We are never told in the Bible that people are going to love or appreciate us, but we still have a duty to tell people the truth, and what they do with it, it's up to them.
That's exactly right. Clifton, thank you for that call, and I totally agree. And we do have a duty to sound the alarm and share the truth. What people do with it, that's on them, but what's on us is to share and to stand up and be counted, to stand up as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. Well, we have Don from Illinois on the line. Don, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Well, I think the gentleman before me pretty much said what I was thinking. I just hope she ain't passing that Kool-Aid out to everybody.
But just insane.
The problem of it is they want to claim us people that support doing the right thing is following Trump. It's not a matter of following Trump. It's following anybody that's going to do what's right. I mean, it doesn't Amen. Matter. It's not a matter that people are like us are promoting Trump or promoting doing the right thing. He happens to be the only one right now that's got enough guts to stand up nationally and say it. That's why they're so scared of him.
That's exactly
again,
right.
If we could find a good Christian person that had the courage to do it, that'd be better. But most of the preachers are too chicken to do it because they're afraid a couple people will leave their church. That's the sad part about it, Jeff. So, again, I'll get off my soapbox and let you go on to someone else. Thank you.
Thank you, Don. Thank you for calling in. We have just a minute left, but Norman from Mississippi. Norman, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Good. How you doing? Enjoyed your guest. I tell you, the lady that called in, who really didn't know what she was talking about, but she has been misled, because obviously she is a fraised Christian. But she's been misled by preachers standing in the pulpit and not preaching the gospel. And that's our biggest problem. We suffer from a lot of things because we as preachers do not understand the power of the gospel. If we preach the gospel and stop spouting so much politics is not going to change anything. And the reason being, both parties lie. Both parties will not tell the truth, and they're hypocritical. So you can't, it's not going, Jesus said, or the scripture says, if my people that are called by my name would humble themselves and pray, the church has to be the church and start to do what we need to do. People won't be so confused.
Amen. That's exactly right, Norman. Thank you for that. And I totally agree. We need to preach Jesus. We need to preach him crucified. But we need to call our nation to repent. And we need to warn the people, because judgment is coming if we keep going in this direction. You've been listening to Real Truth for Today. And I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. Make it a great weekend as you look to the Lord.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.